Hi everyone, you're through to Sandra True, a host of Get Real Parental Coaching podcast. So today we're going to be talking to Mikey Spice. So you know me already. If you're a dad, I want to hear from you. I want to hear about your journey, your challenges, your pain point, and all of that. So how you doing, Mikey?
Hey, I'm brilliant. Until I'm speaking to you, right? What are you going to throw at me?
You can handle it. I'm trusting you to handle it. You're good. So let's talk about you as a dad. Let's talk about you growing up first, I think, in terms of what was your household made up of?
Yeah, my household was made up of predominantly boys. I got one older brother, one younger brother. I'm the middle one. My mom and parents lived together until my dad passed. So we have a strong community in my household where we look after our mom. And do you know what I mean? My dad was always the disciplinary person, and he left some really high standards.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us what that looks like.
Well, that looks like just to be, you know, to be focused. He was very focused. He was very determined. He was all about helping people. But I've taken probably a lot of that trait where, you know, he was always about, you can actually do more. He was never late. And that's one thing that always stood out with me. I remember the conversation that my report came to the house. And on there, it was like nearly every day I was late. And he used to get me up early in the morning and said, Michael, get up. And I was like, okay, I have to get up. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. When we're talking about, he's the only person, okay, and this always stands out in my head. One morning he woke up, okay, and his car got stolen. And he worked about, on a car drive wise, about 45 minutes in a car, because it was one side of Birmingham to the other. He got up, no, his car's stolen. And he still made it to work on time. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to say. So he was very, a lot of people would have rang up and said, hey, I ain't coming in. Let alone, he was like, no, I've got a job to do. I'm getting there and I'm getting there on time. So that's why when his standards are quite high and I'm like, oh my gosh.
You feel like you've got a lot to uphold to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think I was always the one out of the children who was probably the most defiant and defiant one. He was the most probably outspoken, challenged. So me and my dad was always, do you know what I mean? The relationship I had with my dad, it was more like, Michael, you need to do this. Michael, you need to do that. Now and then he would, do you know what I mean? Be a little bit soft on me, but it was more about, do you know what I mean? You need to sort yourself out. You need to have an idea what you're doing. Reading book time, I hated it. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't go up to him and say I was bored because I knew what the consequences were going to be. He was going to be like, pull out a book. That's how, now, get on with your studies. So that I never approached that with him. But So there was a lot of lessons he taught me. But one thing what I seen from my father was that he always said that he wanted to go back to the Caribbean. And I seen him have the money to do that. I seen him have the time to do that. But unfortunately, he got sick at a very early age and he had a stroke. And then I seen my determined dad start to then give up on the world. Do you know what I mean? Just like, leave me alone, you know, and then did a man until he passed. So that's why, yeah. So, you know, I didn't get to have that next relationship with him because if he ended up falling sick. The last thing he said to me before he really got bad was like, Michael, I know I'm harder than you, but however, I'm proud of you. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was quite good. Do you know what I mean? That, you know, he spoke to me and said that because there was a point that all I wanted to do is just prove him wrong. I had a point in my time when my dad said to me, I wanted to buy a car. And I told him, like, Dad, I want to buy a car. And he said, you buy a car, you go find somewhere else to live. He goes, you can only get the car if you buy a house. And I was like, man, you know what? I ended up getting the car and getting the house at the same time.
Nicely done. But don't you think that probably they could have found different ways to do it, but don't you think that all that pushing and that negativity almost that you felt as a child has made you into the person that you are today?
Yeah, it has.
And what about as a dad?
You know, I am strict with my son. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to find a balance with him. It's where, you know what, at the end of the day, I want to be a nice dad, but also I can't be too nice. I got to be disciplinary. So where I am at right now with the phase with him, he probably thinks my dad's like, you know, he knows the phase where I'm at right now is he looks at me and says, you know what, my dad's cool to a certain extent. But however, he just likes to go on. He always wants me to focus. He always wants me to think what I'm doing. And it's a lot of pressure on him. And I do see that at the same time.
Do you know what, Mike? You brought up a really interesting point because you actually sound like your dad.
Yeah, I know.
And I suppose if you thought of how you felt when your dad was putting pressure, your son, how old is he?
16.
Yeah, he'll be feeling the same. Because what time, how old were you when your dad passed?
36, 37, about that time, about that. But prior to that, we're talking about when he got sick, we're talking about a good, probably like 10 or 11 years. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so from that. But however, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, like, you know, having my own business and stuff like that. And when I was, I think about 19, yeah, I was about 19, I had my own business. I was a little bit older than that. I was probably about 23 or something like that. And my dad actually, you know, before he got sick the first time, because there was two occasions where he really got sick, and then he got better, and then he got sick again, and that was the... But the first part, he came to my office, and I was like, right, my dad's in my office now. Like, he wanted to see what I was doing, and he was like, you know, surprised, like, I've gone off and done this, because he knows that I'm doing things, but he doesn't know what I'm doing. He came in, he was like, Mike, I'm really impressed with you, man. Like, you know, and he was going to put some money on it. He was going to write a check, and he was going to put like $3,000 on it at the time. And I was like, bruh, my dad actually believes in me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was things where, in a sense, I thought that he's not really bothered. You know what I mean? He doesn't really. But then again, he'll show his like an inkling of, you know what, I'm willing to put money behind you. Or why didn't you tell me I wanted to come and see you? I would have, you know, I did an event called Tough Guy, and I didn't tell him. And then when I come back, I went, Dad, you know what, I did this event called Tough Guy. You know, he was shocked. He was like, I would have come. And I seen like a disappointment in his face. Like, damn, you would have really liked to come. Do you know what I mean? So there's some of the things.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because he really did have your heart at his best interests. But I just feel like with the way our generations was in terms of our parents, they weren't allowed to show it. They weren't allowed to break down that wall. They had to be this hardcore person at all times just to be able to control and maintain that fear and discipline within the household. So, but at sometimes, on one or two occasions, they might just break a little bit, and you're just so happy to see that little bit. So happy just to see that little bit, like, oh, you can smile. You're smiling at me as well. You're not just smiling at the TV or at cousins and that come round, and you're laughing. But when it comes to you, the mouth goes sour again and go, of course. And then the wet fingers waving. And you're like, damn it. You were just laughing 2 minutes ago and I didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, you know, how he was and I guess how you're trying to be. But today the children are different. Today it's a different era. We weren't brought up on internet. They live on the internet. The internet is their best friend. So in terms of, if I just strip it back a little bit now, so you're a dad now. How did you find being a dad? How was all those emotions going on for you?
Being a dad is, you know, I'm there. You know, I'm supportive. You know, I see my son. I do try and push him. Do you know what I mean? For him to be the best version. I do tell him, like, listen, you know, I do talk to him a lot more than how my dad actually did. And I try to explain about the problems, situations that I've had, where I'm going. Do you know what I mean? And he does take note. However, as he's getting to 16, I can start to see a bit of a lazy attitude, but not all parts of his life, but on certain parts, what he finds difficult. And I'm trying to work with him on that. But it means that I've got to try and do things in a different way. Do you know what I mean? To actually get it. Right now, he's heavily into his boxing. I know, to a certain extent. I do think he wants to box me up.
It's just thought, don't worry.
Well, yeah. But I can look at his head and I'm like, see that thought. I see that thought. Just remember who your dad is. Again, he has got a very competitive nature, which I do see he's got my bits. All it is that with him having a competitive nature, I just need to make sure that he challenges it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes across his whole aspect of life for him to get to the next level.
Yeah, I always love it when somebody's totally tuned into something, because I feel like when they're not focused on anything, that's when you got to sort of be careful, because then they're not focused on anything. But at least he's focused on his boxing, and then he could channel all his energy and his spare time into boxing. I think that's really important, that, and it's a self-defense class as well. You're sort of like two in one, isn't it?
I just need to make sure that his ego doesn't go too much in the process, and he stays on board in the process.
Well, yeah, there's that as well, because obviously, you know, it's a bit like sort of like the American football, isn't it? You can't get into American football if your grades aren't good.
Yeah,
your grades have to be a certain level if you are serious about taking on a professional sport. So I guess it's that channeling that you're probably talking about in those areas.
Yeah, like I say, because I've had a lot of experience in the sense that I've worked with boxing, I've worked with boxing clubs, I had my own boxing club. I'm an ex-athlete, played for National League Birmingham as basketball. Do you know what I mean? So I've done a lot of different things. But what I'm trying to get him to see, that even though that boxing is, you know, you got to be an athlete, you got to have the mindset, the rest of it, there's also another academic part you need to be able to do as well. Do you know what I mean? Where it's not just that, because I'm winning fights or I'm doing that. There's another aspect, and you need to be aware about the other aspect, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, and you could be the best fighter in the world, but if nobody knows you and you don't sell no tickets, nobody wants to hire you. You know, this is where it is, I suppose. In a way, it sounds like I'm criticizing him, like I'm not thinking that he's good enough, but I'm also telling him, like, you've got the ability to be great, but however, you don't do the full package, you're not going to get anywhere.
And have you told him that he's great?
Yeah, I tell him, like, oh, you know, I'll see him, I say, yo, you're not making improvements. You know, I'll tell him you're crap as well. And when he's with, yeah, he went for a run yesterday, and I'm like, hey, you did in that time. I'm thinking, last time I ran against you, you end up stopping and walking down the roads. But it seems like you're not doing that now, so I better start watching. You know, I'll chuck in those little bits to make him feel, to know that, yeah. So he knows that I'm watching. He knows that I'm watching, but I'm not trying to take over. It's his journey. If he really wants it, when he really, really needs me, then I'll come to the table.
100%. And that's the right attitude, because at this age, it's a lot about their friends anyway. And it's all about if you've given him the right tools to go out there with, in terms of his mindset and how to be around people and all of those sort of general life skills, he'll be fine. He'll be out there and still have you in the back of his mind. Like, oh gosh, you know, they're doing a little, should I not? He may do a little something or he may not, but he's still got you in the back of his mind, and knowing that you're still there for support if he wants to ask questions, that's 100% connecting right there, because I'm all about connection at the end of the day. It's all about girls now then, because he's 16 and all of that. Have you come across that situation? Yes. And how did you deal with it?
I haven't yet.
Okay. So have you got your plans of how you're going to deal with the situation?
Right now, I already told him, I said, girls, and when I was his age, girls and basketball, that ended up finishing me off. There's a lot of distractions out there, so you need to figure out which is going to distract you from what you want. So, do you know what I mean? So it's down to him. I'll be watching, but I've already made everybody clear, you know, because I've got a son, I've got a stepdaughter as well. My stepdaughter, she is 27. She hears me like, you don't know my age.
I don't know my children's age. So just to back you up.
Yeah.
I'm like, what year were you born again? 1, 2, 3. I'm all counting.
Yeah. The main thing is about him just being focused about what he really wants to do. When he was younger, I took him to see Robert Kiyosaki. Yeah, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he was probably one of the youngest kids in the room. And something stood out in his head. Yeah, where he was like, oh, you know, I want to be in properties and the rest of it. And he listened to some of the people, you know, in the room and stuff like that. But however, as he's getting older, just bear in mind, you know, certain patterns and certain opportunities don't come your way. Then your dreams and your aspirations start to fall back down. And then you don't think it's possible. So I'm keeping an eye on that to make sure that this is keep high and, you know, just keep on pushing it. And everything's a learning experience.
100% for everyone. It's probably even worth maybe even taking him to a few more events now to keep him on that level, that empowerment journey. When you took him to that event before and you saying like something stuck out, if he went on a few more events, even with you, that will get him his mind set in, you know, sort of like a reset, isn't it? the body needs a reset every now and again.
Yeah.
So he may could do benefit from going to one or two events along with you.
Yeah. He sees possibility in his boxing, but when it comes to other things, I don't think he sees possibility. So that's why I have to work with him.
Right. Okay. And is it just, is there mum on the scene?
Yeah. Yeah. Mum on the scene.
So he gets a little bit of nurturing.
Yeah. I'm bad cop. I'll tell you straight. I'm the bad cop.
At least one of you are. It's fine. It's fine. Not that you need any good cop, bad cop thing going on, but it's fine. Yeah, that's how you roll with that. Then that's good. And so do you find he's quite, in terms of his personality, he quite close to his mum and his sister, the female side of the family?
Yeah, he is close, I suppose, yeah.
So what about the friends? Because we always have to talk about the friends. Sometimes you look at a friend and you're like, oh gosh, I can't stand that boy or girl. You can't sort of say something because that will push them more towards that person. There's always one. Everybody always had that one person, that one friend that as a parent, you're like, oh my gosh, like the worst influence ever or stuff like that. So did he have those friends either growing up or now?
No, luckily he hasn't. His friends and stuff. I suppose he keeps himself very, very niche. His friends, he communicates himself with people at the boxing gym, and then he's got some other friends, and they're in the footballing world. His thing is about go boxing, come home, and that's it. Go boxing, come home, and that's it.
Wow, you're so fortunate.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, let's get one thing straight. When there's a new friend that comes to the door, they're gonna meet me, and when they meet me, I'm like, all right, good, all right, like, tell me about yourself. And then when I'm asking very direct questions, it's like, whoa. And then I suppose they see that, you know, I'm very disciplined.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They see my physique, and then they're like, you know, he works out. He's got his life in order. They don't really want to start upsetting me or anything like that. They're like, your dad looks like, wow. Do you know what I mean?
They behave themselves.
But my dad was like that as well. I'll be honest with you. Even my friends, you know, when it came to like talking to my dad, it was like a new respect. Like, yes, Mr. Edmund, like, to me, like, yeah, we don't want to mess about with him, man. You know, he's got my friends. My dad used to try and advise my friends as well. Like, what are you doing? What's your plans? Da-da-da. Where you want to be? Da-da-da. Come on, you know, all you guys got to do it. So it's the same thing.
So do you feel like you're a lot like your dad because it's ingrained in you? Or do you feel like you want to be like your dad because you're proud of the way how you are as a man?
I suppose I'm proud of it. Yeah, I suppose I'm proud as I am. But regardless of it, I've done a lot of coaching, helping people. I've been coached as well. Some of the things that I didn't want to do when my dad was telling me that I need to do, he's already gone through the process. Do you mean he went through the process, and like I said, everything that he would have wanted, he did, apart from, do you know what I mean, his health just took him. So when he said this to me, that, you know, Mike, he was gonna, you know, buy a house in the Caribbean, he had the funds to buy a house in the Caribbean. Do you know what I mean? He had other businesses that he was doing, he had other investments. When we sit down, and he used to be, remember, come home from school and I'll be watching the TV, and he's like, son, move over, give me the teletext, I'm looking at stocks and shares. He was on that. He was on like all these things, anything to do with investment. That's the only thing that I feel that, you know, when I got missed, because he was doing it. I seen him do all these things, but he didn't actually tell me. It's only later, like, okay, I remember my dad used to do that. And then seeing me doing parts of what he was doing, then he wanted to be more involved.
Mm.
Yeah, my dad had a very close friend, and we're like family members. And when I see my relationship with my cousin, who's my dad's friend, we talk like we're cousins, we are like cousins, and I see the relationship with him and his dad, it would have been the same, vice versa. His dad's helped him in a lot of a lot of business opportunities, raising capital, and he's doing really successful. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I do feel like, you know what, I wish I had if my dad was around, I would have had the same similar relationship. And it's, I suppose it's the same thing I would like to have with my son, where I know you're going to say bad of me, but I'm saying is that he becomes an accomplice. We work together rather than we're working distant. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the same time, I'm looking to invest in him, but at the same time, do you know what I mean? I'm looking for him to, you know, just bring some value to the whole team.
Yeah, and you know what? You've just sort of proven that time waits for no man, because at the end of the day, everybody has their plan, but tomorrow's not promised to nobody. So you have to do what you need to do today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To invest in your son, or to, you have to do that today, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And we want to live a life of gratitude and blessings as opposed to regrets and all the rest of it. You know what I mean? So we try and do the best we can with what we've got on a daily basis, to look at it more short term, I suppose.
Yeah.
So if you was to tell anyone listening now, you know, what advice would you give them as a dad to their children, especially sons or daughters? What would you tell them?
I would say, you know what, be balanced. You know, there's a time for discipline. There's a time for play. And that's the thing. Sometimes my dad was unpredictable. I remember the times when I thought he was going to beat me bad. Because guess what? Yeah, I remember one time I locked his keys in the car, and I thought, I told my mom, and I was like, "Mom, I locked his keys. He's gonna beat me for being stupid. Like, who does that?" Do you know what I mean? And I was thinking, you know what I did before I even went to tell him? I went on and put about 3 layers of jeans on. And then when I told him, he was like, "Oh, you did that. Don't worry, man. It's all right. I've got a spare key." Like, I'm thinking, "Oh, you got a spare key?" He's like, "Yeah, I got a spare key. Just go upstairs and look in here, grab a spare key. No problem." And I thought, "Bruh, I thought I was going to get beaten for being so silly. Like, not thinking about locking." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you could go upstairs and strip off now. You're fine.
There it is.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much, though, Mikey, for sharing your journey, for coming on here and just talking about how you are with your son and your journey and your challenges and what you're trying to achieve from your son-dad relationship. I love that still. So I'm glad about that. So where can people get hold of you for your business?
Anything to do with Body Sharp, and that's body, yeah, and then sharp, S-H-A-R-P. Many people, they hear me say sharp and they think I say sharp. So no. Yeah, it's sharp, okay? And I help people to regain confidence and feel great naked, but I also work on people's mindsets as well, you know, to get them the best that they can be. Anything's possible, so long as you just put your mind to it and just keep on discovering and setting standards as you go along and refining the process until, you know, you get to that outcome where you want to be. And I'm based in Birmingham, by the way. If if any of you like from London want to, I mean, come down to see me coaching person, then I'm based in Birmingham. However, you can catch me online.
Excellent. Lovely. So I'm going to put all those show notes down below. You just send me the details and I'll pull it in below so people can contact you whenever they feel. So thank you very much for everyone listening, and I hope you enjoyed the session. And don't forget to like, subscribe, share, Get Real Parental Coaching. All right. Take care for now. Bye-bye. Thank you, Mikey.
Yeah. Awesome. That was...